Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Last time we discussed the parameters, we began to discuss the parameters of the Heter Ba'alter in the context of Borer. Shmir Shabbos Tilchasa, Perek Gimel, Funov Reish Tes, in the newest edition, quotes the following from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that if a person borrows a kli from someone else, even if his intent is to use it later on in the day, but he's only able to borrow it now, that's not considered to be a violation of Alter. That's still considered of Alter, because as far as the lender is concerned, for him, his interaction with the statements that he's lending out is la'alter. The mashil doesn't need to find out from the shoel when does the shoel intend to use his object. As far as the mashil is concerned, the mashil is only available now. Someone wants to borrow something from him in the morning. The mashil won't be home the rest of the day. So the shoel comes to ask for the mashil, even though the shoel is only going to use it later on. Or the shoel knocks on his door, the mashal doesn't have to ask him when you intend to use it, because as far as the mashal is concerned, that's considered to be la'alter. He says, however, let's say the mother asks her daughter to help her ready for the Shabbos Suda. The daughter says, I want to go to shoal, and I won't be available to help later. So then, to do bo'er that's necessary for the meal, which is going to be 2 hours later, is not permissible, even though the daughter is not going to be around later, because as far as the residents of the house are concerned, that's not considered la'alter. So it's just a matter of convenience, that it's more convenient to do something now than later. There's no heter la'alter. But if, as far as the person doing the act of bo'er is concerned, it's only, there's no gap between their action and the result of the action, and the intended result to recipient, then that would be mutter mishum la'alter. So again, according to Rishon Zalman, if someone wants to borrow an object, knocks on your door, you don't have to ask them, are you going to use it right now? That's not your problem. As far as you're concerned, that's la'alter, because your la'alter is defined based on the person that you're giving it to, whose needs, as far as you're concerned, are immediate. That's what Shmir Shabbos quotes from Rishon Zalman. Then he goes another kula from Rishon Zalman, in the definition of alter, and se'if mem dalid, that let's say you're having guests and you're peeling fruit to serve to the guests. And you don't know how many fruits the guests are going to eat. So you don't need to estimate exactly what they're going to eat, even if you're going to peel or serve more fruits than they're going to eat. That's mutter, and you can peel them in a alter fashion, because that which you're doing for the kavod of the guests is a sufficient justification for performing that act of bo'er la'alter. And he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, Akedekach, that even if you know the guests aren't going to eat anything, because and you're just putting out the food to make a proper kavod presentation, but you know they're not going to eat anything, it still would be mutter to be bo'er for purpose of that kibud of the guests. And he's mistapek, would you say that you're allowed to peel in order to give seida l'derech? Because you know that the person's only going to eat it later on, but he's visiting you now Shabbos afternoon, and then he's going for a long walk till he gets home, and he may eat it sometime till he gets where he's staying. He's not going to eat till later in the afternoon. Is that considered to be la'alter or not, so that he leaves as a suffix.
Is that the same as the lending?
It's not the same as the lending, because as far as the lending is concerned, you're only, well, that's part of a suffix. It's not that it's not, is that when it comes to the lending, as far as you're concerned, you have no option. So you're asking, why should that be any different? If you know that he's only going to use it later, but you're not going to be around to give it to him later. Then Rosh Hashanah said that's mutter, that's considered to be la'alter. You're giving him food, you can't give it to him later because he's going to be going for a walk. The tzad that is different, the tzad that is different is that here you know for sure that it's going to be used later, and your intention is for it to be used later. In the earlier case, it's not your intention for it to be used later, it's just that the person is asking you for this object, and you won't be around to give it to them later. So I think that's the tzad that's not exactly the same. Here, your whole kavana is for them to eat it later. There's no way in the world they're going to eat it earlier. They're taking it as a tzad l'derech. And then there's another psak he has from Rosh Hashanah Zaman along the same lines, in Se'if Ayin Gimel. There are situations where there is going to be a significant gap, but there's still a little alter element in doing it at the earlier end. So he says that you're allowed to peel onions for a salad if the taste of the salad is enhanced by having the onions peeled earlier. But it tastes better if they stay out a little bit before you eat them. Is that true with onions?
It's true with food.
I'm sorry?
It's true.
True?
We also, like, if you're putting the onions in the salad, then it gives the flavor to, like, the lettuce or whatever.
Right, so you're saying if it's going to enhance the flavor in a more significant way by peeling it earlier, then that's considered la'alter, even though there's going to be a time gap between when you peel it and when you actually eat it. And then a further talk along those lines in Sif Pei Aleph is, let's say you have bottles that are bitarobes, whatever the tzir is, and you want to put them in the fridge in order to cool them off before the meal. Or vice versa, you have things in the fridge that you want to put them in the fridge in order to make them colder, or you have things in the fridge that you want to take out to cool off. So you're not going to be using it for a while. It needs time to cool off or to get cold. So Shlomo Zalman thinks there also that is permissible, because that's also considered la'alter. Whatever amount of time is necessary to complete the preparation, even though your active bowler is at the front end of that time, and there's something else that needs to happen in the intervening time before you're actually going to eat it, that's still considered to be la'alter. So even though there could be a significant gap of time between when you put it in the fridge, take it out of the fridge, and when you're going to drink it, as long as you time it in such a way that you're working backwards and minimizing that window to whatever is necessary to achieve the result, that would be considered la'alter and permissible. In the Orchel Shabbos, he thinks that Shlomo Zalman was closer to this. Why does he think that? Because in the thin volume of Hasafa Sishmir Shabbos, which was printed a few years before this final version of Sishmir Shabbos, but those were Ha'aros and Hasafos on the second edition of Sishmir Shabbos. Most of that was incorporated into the third edition. So in the second edition, Rav Neubert has a line in a footnote that says, maybe yishtanu halachas. Maybe that these halachas that we just mentioned should change. Maybe he was walking back the common theme of these kulas of la'alter. However, in the printed final edition of Shmir Shabbos, he has a slightly different phraseology than in the volume of Aros. And here he writes, not yishtanu halachos, but rather yesh ladin, that maybe requires further analysis, but he didn't change anything in the body of the text. So the fact that it didn't change anything in the body of the text, it just has a footnote that maybe this requires further analysis, doesn't sound like it's a complete walk back of these kulos. But whether or not Rishon Lezama walked anything back, in the Orach HaShavuos, they quote from Rabbi Yashiv, or Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Nissen Karelis, who were machmir, at least they're talking about the bottle case, that you're not allowed to take bottles out of the fridge to cool off in advance of when you're going to put them on the table, or put them in the fridge in order to get them cold, if you're removing them in a boring situation where the bottles are bitarobis. So what's the eight? So if you're machmir like Rabbi Yashiv, so the sefer Ayel Meshulash that we haven't quoted yet, but we'll quote a lot in the next few shirim. Ayel Meshulash on Hilchos Borer. Anyone have this? This is a classic sefer Hilchos Borer written in the 1980s by Rav Menachem Aryeh Schlesinger of Yerushalayim. The reason it's called Ayel Meshulash is he quotes a Orchos Chayim. Not the Orach HaSchayim, the Provençal Rishon, not the Orach HaSchayim of the Rush, and not, he says that Orach HaSchayim was the father of the Tiferes Yisrael, so I'm not familiar with that Orach HaSchayim was, but that Orach HaSchayim had the mnemonic, Ayel is for Ochel, Yad, and L'Alter. Three situations in which Bor is permissible, Ochel, Yad, and La'alter, so Ayel, and the Mechaber the Sefer calls it Ayel Meshulash, Chris Ben Sarim, but the triple heter of Aleph Yud Lamed. Subsequent to this, he also wrote a volume on Ma'amer, and I think he may have one other Malach also, but I think this is his first volume. There's a lot of Tzokin from Yisim Karelis, Rav Yashiv, and Scheinberg, and all the contemporary Gedolim, and Hilchos Borer. So he says, the Eitzah would be, if you're going to be mapping like Rav Yashiv, and you go from Nissen Karelis, that's the bottles. So what you could do is, if you want to take a bottle out of the fridge in order to take the chill out of it, so you can use it to open up a walnut. Use the bottle for something else, take it out of the fridge and crack a walnut with it, or take it out of the fridge and drink a little bit, and then you don't have to worry about the fact that you were vulgar, because now you're taking it out for immediate use. That's a question I think we touched on a little bit, we'll get to a little bit later. What situations are we concerned about harama when it comes to vulgar? Can you tactically fulfill the conditions even though you're clearly doing something in order to perform what otherwise would be a definite violation of Bohr? So where does Harama, is that Harama? You clearly don't need the bottle to open up the walnut, but you're taking the bottle and opening up the walnut in order to allow you to take it out of the fridge. So he thinks that is an acceptable aid. Somewhat along those lines of the Harama question in the inverse is a comment that the Beis Yosef has in explaining the Bnei Ruchim that let's say you were Borer with the intention of eating something la'alter and then you change your mind. So the way the Beis Yosef explained the Bnei Ruchim, you get the impression that that's potentially a malacha deraisa. If you're Borer with the intention of eating a la'alter, and then nidlach, and you didn't eat it, that you're chayiv. That would be a phenomenal finish. If your intent at the time was la'alter, and then something happened that you weren't able to eat a la'alter, you changed your mind, that should be a nisa deraisa. That is a tremendous finish that I don't think we assume like. In the Shaar Tzion, take a look at Sivkat and Hay. Shaar Tzion Sivkatan Hey. In Bira La'osu Su'uda V'Akrakat Nimlach La'osu Su'uda Feres after Chiyakatas Ein B'zeh they come in Maisel Mashava they come welcome La'arachum Dever Hachi Prima Gadim. The question of Prima Gadim and Lacha Dereis is not But that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not appropriate. He's not saying it's not appropriate to say that you're doing a lot there and then not, it's not wrong. We're talking about where you honestly, at the time that you do the braver, have every intention of using a lot there, and then you lose your appetite. So there was no haram involved. You weren't doing anything wrong at the time that you did the maisa, but still, it goes in Vivagadim that lo arach lamela, lo arach lamela hal, is not a good idea. It says in Mishabrura, Bitzar Raya Dvarach. Why should that be? Why is it even lo arach lamela hal? I am Simon Shinta Zayin Seif Vav. What's Sif Zayin, Shinta Zayin Seif Vav? That's the Tzad Halacha. Take a look, Shinta Zayin Seif Vav. Yashav Echad al Pesach, Lumelo. So one person is sitting in front of a door and preventing the deer from escaping, then someone else can sit next to him because the other person is not contributing to the malacha that has been done. Even if the first guy walks away, the second guy, not only is he not in violation of an Isser Daraisa, not only is it not a violation of Yisra Rabbanan, it's Heter Gamur, as he has done nothing wrong. At the time that he sat there, he was not involved in any malacha of Seda. The fact that de facto it turns out in the end that the first guy leaves and he de facto is perpetuating a Seda situation has nothing to do with him. It wasn't his intent, and he's not in any way connected to that activity. Yeah.
So what's the physical makeup of this case? I mean, one person is in the doorway, blocking the doorway totally.
Right, there's no way that the...
it's going to get out. And then where does the other guy sit?
The other guy sits next to him in such a way that if the first guy leaves, then the animal will still not be able to get out. Meaning let's say the animal is larger than the animal is 3/4 of the doorway. So
okay.
If you're blocking 3/4 of the doorway, the animal can't get through.
Uh-huh.
Someone else is next to you in the remaining whatever the percentage it is,
yeah.
In the remaining quarter, and the first guy leaves, or whatever, you figure out the percentage
yeah.
In such a way that the animal still not able to get through,
uh-huh.
But the first guy hasn't done anything actively to engage in the malacha of tzad, but de facto he's perpetuating the tzad situation. So I think that's what Mishabru means over here, that they're the guy that's mutter l'chachila, but it's not...
Is the sequence being afraid of you? Is
it again?
Afraid also? They're afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not going to go even if they can physically fit, because they're afraid of you and they're afraid also.
I don't think so. Now we're talking about where you're actually blocking in such a way they can't get through. But that's Mishabu's comparison, that if you have no intention of doing malacha at the beginning, and even if the situation presents itself in the end, that de facto you're doing a malacha, but there that's after gone. So here also, if at the time that you intended to, at the time you did after Rera, it was with the intention of using a altar. Even if you change your mind, but there's no Indian that you can't change your mind and somehow there's some exposure if you don't end up eating the food la'altar that you intended to eat.
Well, it's a culture game, even the same better than that, because in this case of the doorway, he's still blocking, he's doing a malacha, he's blocking the doorway, as opposed to this case, he didn't do a malacha. Right? It just happened to be he changed his mind, but he didn't do a malacha at that point in time, so Hora can even say better than that.
Right, okay. We mentioned last time if I stand up that won't affect the Zoom, right? He's just on audio?
Yeah.
Okay. So we mentioned last time that according to most opponents, the Shri Sashayas notwithstanding, the general orientation of the Heterim of Ayil of Ochel Yad and La'alter is that a derech achila? That in these situations where all these factors are in place, it's considered to be derech achila, not a malacha of borer. And we alluded to the fact that there may be some situations where a given application would be considered derech achila, even if not all of these three factors are in place. There's a comment of the Sefer HaKovetz on the Rambam, Perechas Halacha Yibayz, Perechas Halacha Yibayz, where he writes, Al v'dayti, Dibashas Achila l'kulei amla, gam solas mitoch ochel mutter. Now, the Sefer HaKovetz had this idea that Bishas Achila, during the act of eating, then everyone would agree that you could even be borer solas mitoch ochel. And he says he found this discussed in the Birkei Yosef, that the whole requirement of Ochel Tafsolas, that's only leading up to Achila, but if it's Meshas Achila Mamish, then you don't need Ochel Tafsolas. So we had discussed last time, Machlokes Rishonim, that the Beis Yosef quotes, in slightly different versions of Rishonim, whether the Beis Yosef is quoting them as the versions that we have. But there was that one line where Rabban that goes Mordechai, that sounds like the whole heck of the altar itself is only if you're doing a mamish b'shas achila. But leaving that aside, if we assume that the heter of the altar is a little bit before the achila mamish, not as you're putting it into your mouth, so then the comment of the Sefer HaKovetz may be relevant that if you're doing a mamish b'shas achila, maybe you don't even need ochel mitoch habsolas. The Be'er Halacha discusses this in Sif Dalid, Gibra Maskil HaBorer. He quotes the Birkei Yosef and says it's Machlokas Achronim, and he suggests that it is a Machlokas Rishonim. He quotes, Birkei Yosef says it's a Machlokas the Mari Abu Lafa and the Mari Tats. And that's relevant to the question of the fly in the soup, or the fly in the cup. So if you're going to allow for Borer Tzolfik of Ochel, some of Lachila Mamish, the second before you go and eat it, maybe it should be mutter to spill a fly out of the cup. And the steam is a poskim. We don't find such a chilek. Says Mishabrua, he thinks it's a machlokas rishonim. The Ramban, Ayin Aleph and Aleph, has the following line. The chimutr lefos lebo bayom, the chimutr levash lebo bayom. The svara kasava rabbi says Ramban, she'ein bebower pachos mikashir chiyuv ka'ofa pachos mikashir she'ein derech breira bekach. So the second suggestion of the Gemara, when Rabbi Jaksula and says the heterim in the Mishnah in the Brisa are be pachos mikashir, that's because Rabbi is assuming that if you're bower pachos mikashir, ein derech breir b'kach. Ella, ke'ochel u'matza p'soles b'chasicha shu ochel. When is only derech breir? If you're eating and you find p'soles in the chasicha that you're eating, u'mafrish p'soles mitoch ochel hu shemutter. So if you're eating and you find solace in the piece that you're eating and you're mafrish the solace, that is mutter. That's not derech breira. It says in Mishabri, see from the Ramban, that if you're mafrish something when you're eating, that's not derech breira, that's derech achila. So the Mishabru assumes that the reference in this line of the Ramban is to where you're mafresh the psalms from the ochel samach l'achila mamish, but you haven't necessarily put it in your mouth yet. Ochel matzah psalus b'chasicha shu ochel. You're eating, and you find psalus in the piece that you're eating. U'mafresh psalus mitoch ochel shumutter, and you're removing the psalus from that ochel. So, are we talking about you're eating, and you find the psalus before you put it in your mouth? Or you find the psalus once it's in your mouth? So the Chazanish thinks, it's the beginning of Siman and Dalet, that the Ramban is talking about where it's already in your mouth. So that everyone would agree to, as we mentioned last time, if you have a piece of food in your mouth, that you can spit out the bits. And you can remove the psalus from in your mouth. That's definitely derech achila. That's the normal way of eating. That's not called bor at all. Mishabrua, the way he frames this as machlokas rishonim, and working on the Pirkei Yosef, who has it as a machlokas achronim, earlier achronim. So the way the Mishabrua assumes, he thinks Ramban's talking about some of l'achila mamish, but before it's in your mouth. I would have been nota, not for me to be machria, but I would have been nota that the Moshmah is a little bit more like the Chazanish. Ka'ochel, umasab solas b'chasicha shehu ochel. You're eating, and you find the solas in the piece that you're eating. Does that sound like it's already in your mouth? You're eating. So if you're eating, that means you're eating it. If it's before you put it in your mouth, you're not eating it yet.
It might depend on like the food.
Right, so it could be that you have a piece of meat, so you cut off a little piece, now you see salt in the next piece before you put it in your mouth. Yeah. Yeah, but that's Machlokes Mishabrua Chazanish, how do you read the Ramban, and is it relevant to the way the Mishabrua frames this question, is there hachlokes salt in tocha ochel, samuch l'achila mamish? So everyone would agree, if you're being bo'er 15 minutes before the Suda, because that's the amount of time you need to make preparations, that there's no heter to be bo'er than solus. But if you're talking about your bo'er the second before you're putting it into your mouth, according to the Chazanish, doesn't make a difference. If you're putting it into your mouth, until it's in your mouth, there's no heter of solus, the tocha ochel. The Mishabrua thinks that's a mechalok of Yishon. The Rabbani thinks would be matir. He thinks the Rosh disagrees. What's the rush? This is the rush we quoted last time. The Chuvas HaRush, that's the source for the din of Sif Tesayin, where you have the Mayim Sheish Bem Talayim, and you could put a mappa over your mouth to prevent the Talayim from being imbibed. Says the Mishabura, Avnam Adibay HaRush, the Chuva, Kuvatak Rav Shachanar of Sif Tesayin, Mashva, if you look at Maritats, The Rush says the reason it's mutter is that's not considered to be breira. If you put a cloth over your mouth, that's not an act of bore. When we delo kamer stam, the b'shas chesia gufa. Ain't shayach bo'er. Alavadis feel look at maritatz the low shnup. The fact that he says a derech breira b'kach, that's not the act of bo'er. Rather than saying bo'er is never relevant, the shash shesia sounds like there's no heter of sof mitocha ochel even samach l'achila or samach l'shesia mash. So Mishabrua thinks the machlokas are shodim. Chazanish thinks no machlokas ever agrees it's aser. And even the Mishabrua is note that. That l'chachila, you have to be machmer at this because this is a suffix, a machlokas, on a potential iser d'oraisa. So that, in general, is the orientation halacha, that even some of l'achil of mamish, you should be makir not to take solas mitoch ha'ochel. However, there's another lach we have to take a look at. And that is the Ramah, the end of Simon Shin Kaf Aleph. Ramah writes, Aser liklov shumim v'besolim kishakolif lahaniyach. So you're not allowed to peel garlic and onions if you're peeling them for later use. Aval lecho la'alter shari. But if you're going to eat them right away, mutter. What's the issue? Here, take a look at the Mishabrura, Sifkat and Pei Dalit, Shumim v'Salim, Koidin Tapuchim, that goes in Mushkedim, v'Kayotze v'Zeh, apples, walnuts, almonds, in Poseach Klubin, in Zorik HaGarinim HaKashim, if you open a plum, and you throw the hard pit away, L'Aniyach L'Akhris Man, HaVibomer. So if you're removing the pit in order to eat it later, that's borer. Same thing with apples. To remove the seeds would be usser. Aval miyad lepeh shari litein. But you are allowed to put it hand to mouth. You'll have to put it directly in your mouth. What does that mean? Take a look at, or if you have it, the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim, Eshel Avram, Sifkat and Lamed, the very end of Simin Shin Kafal. Mishabura quotes it here in Sharitzion Sadites. Says the Kimugadim. I'm not sure that Rashi Tevis is. It's supposed to be Yad Lepeh. I don't know the extra word here. Yad, I'm sorry, you looking at it?
Which?
Prima Gadim Sukkot and Lamed.
Oh, yeah.
Prima Gadim. Yad Lepeh Shari. Give a sim shin test. Apo Sasuda Shari to Afshar. The Afshar in Afer. Lo Havim Soles Me'ocha. So if something's the Afshar in Afer, that's not considered or a problematic application of removing Soles Me'ocha. So if you're going to take out the pit, As you're putting it into your mouth, that is mutter, the F sharp Indian after. So says the Mishabun Sharatian here at Sadi Fes, the canal, the Simon Chin Yutas at the Zion, Kakat Pima Gadim, that's the Sifta Zayin is the Chuvas Harash case. Kafas Pima Gadim. Lo Avin Raya Solani Asaiti. V'ayla'el, so love and v'ayasa, what do you see from the din of the cloth and the water? V'ayla'el, v'sita'al, v'erlacha, v'ira maskil, ha'gorer. So that's the bir lacha we just saw. The Mishnah Berurah says that's not lacha we showed him as to whether you're allowed to remove salt mitocha ochel samach lachila mamish. That's how the Mishnah Berurah is saying that's the same issue as the miad lepeh of the prima gadim here.
And don't they just eat the fruit and throw out the seeds? Or am I missing something? What's like? What's just? And why? What's the whole question about removing the seed? Or
so you want to remove the seed in order to be able to eat the fruit more readily later?
Okay.
That's a problem. So says the Ayin Mishulash. Very good gimbo, footnote your test. That what does the Mishnah Berurah mean to say? The Mishnah Berurah says this is Kafin Sadi Chas, Ayin Le'el. But Le'el, the Mishnah Berurah said you have to be machmir, not to be borek sos mitocha ochel, even samach lachila mamish. So why here are we saying there's a hector of miad lepeh? Says the following, that let's just see it again in Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah, the end of Pei Dalet, have a miyad lepeh shari mitay ve'efshar af osa su'uda shari. So that's what the Prima Gadim. Again, according to the Prima Gadim, you could remove pits as you're putting it into your mouth. And the afshar, even for later, even lo sasudo. Prigodim entertains that even lo sasudo be mutter to remove pits because the afshar ben yinacher. There's no other way of eating this fruit without removing the pit. So the Ayin Mishul suggests, made the Mishru baking the following cheshvin. That is true that above in the Mir Lach and Shinya tests, he says that in general you should be mafmir, not to allow be barb salfitacha ochel, even samachilachila mamish. But in a situation where the Prima Gadim would consider it EF Shabinyan Acher, like these pits, even though we're not going to go so far as to be matir losa suda, as the Prima Gadim suggests, but at least samachilachila mamish, then we would be matir being borib, so at least some of Achila Mamish, in the Alabeth, there we would be matir being borib, so less, mitoch ha'ocha. Because maybe that's what the Mishnah Berurah means.
Can we explain that again?
That the Prima Gadim suggests that when it comes to pits, if it's the Yashub in Yanacher, if there's no other way than to remove the Salt Mitoch Ochel, you're allowed to do so Niad L'Pem. It's as you're putting it into your mouth. You can hold the fruit, take the pit out and put it into your mouth. And after Achlo Sasuda. And maybe you can even do that earlier. Maybe you can even do that with that in the regular window of L'Altar. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Dalin Simon Shinyu Tess was saying that even though he thinks that the Ramban is Makel on Sol Smitov Ochel, some of Lachila Mamish, he thinks that in general it should be Mafmir, because that's the Machlokas Rishonim, right? So why here is this any different? Why here is there more of allowance for Niyad Lepet? So that's Dafted by Garinim, where it's Iyashar bin Yanacher.
I suppose the Shinyu test for what's Afshar bin Yanacher.
So the Shinyu test for Afshar bin Yanacher.
I mean, there's the point that Iyashar makes it there a Chiva. I mean, if you can, you have to do it this way, then that's just eating.
Yeah. Right, the Yashar makes it essentially Derech Achila. Correct.
If I'm eating it, why does it even have this solace?
Because the once it's already in your mouth, then we don't measure what's considered solace. But until it's in your mouth, it's solace because you're not, that's the part you're not going to eat.
No, why is also to the Chiddush that it would be much better? Like, if I'm removing the pit and later in that meal, we eat it, then does that make it ochel? So, I'm going to eat that.
So, the pit is still soulless. It's just that if it's the Asher Ben Yanacher, Prima Gadim says it's a Hatter Mi'al B'Peh, because there's no other way around it. So, do you accept? Right? It's still soulless, but here, even removing the soulless is considered Derech Achila, because that's the only way you could eat it. Right, but that doesn't necessarily give you license to do it earlier. It's still called solas,
even though I'm eating it.
You're not eating the pit, you're eating the fruit.
So not
right. We're talking about a case where the only way you could get to the fruit is by removing the pit. Right? There's no easy way to get to the fruit without removing the pit. So that's the Yeshua Ben Yachar. So it is solas, but if that's the only way you could eat it, that's still Derech Achila. So the Chadish says that no, you can, if you're talking about a plum, so hold, or if you're talking about a fruit with a hard pit in the middle, it's Chadish in Nundalid Osei, so hold the pit and pull the fruit off with your mouth around the pit. That's not a Yeshua Ben Yanacher. And the Al Mishulah says, the Mishnah Berurah will say, the people of God would say, no, that's such a mishunadik way of eating that you still say Yashub in Yanacher. You don't have to eat it in such a mishunadik way to avoid a bor problem. If that's totally not a normal way of eating it, then even removing the pit is considered derech hafila and not a problematic application of soles mitoch ocha.
Is there anything that would apply to it that's not normal to just eat the fruit?
Is there anything it would or not apply
to? It's not normal to eat it without taking the pit out. Like with a plum, it's normal to eat just without taking the pit out.
You guys see, what fruit is it?
What fruit would this apply to that he's talking about?
I said, what fruit would...
But he's talking about a plum.
So you got, let's say a plum.
A plum, when I eat it, I normally eat the fruit off.
I'm sorry.
When I eat a plum, I normally eat the fruit off.
Yeah.
Even if there's something you don't, it's definitely normal to. You just eat the fruit, you don't take the pit out.
Well, normally, if you eat a plum, at some point, you remove the pit. You don't eat totally around it. I'm sorry?
You eat around it. Yeah. I mean, some people might not, but it's definitely normal.
So we're talking about if you eat halfway and then you're left with half the food in the pit, so you just can't
eat
it.
I'm
sorry?
You can always not. Maybe it wasn't all back then, but you know.
It is possible that like they used to have less like engineered fruit, so it had bigger pits and less fruit.
I thought the Mishnah Berurah was more mashma. The case was that you're just saving the pits, but not that you're preparing the fruit in advance.
So the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case where you're going to eat the fruit later and you're removing the pit to make it easier to eat the fruit later. Right? Tabuchan goes to Shade of Hayesu said, in Bosef, Plumen, Vizore, Kagarine, Makashim, Laniach, Lakasman, Havein Boger.
That's Laniach. Plumen?
No, Laniach, Plumen. Right. You're removing the pit and you're going to eat the plums later. You're pitting the plum.
Also, I mean, maybe a more practical example is like a date.
Well, a date, you eat the seeds, no?
Mm-hmm. You eat the seeds of the date?
You don't eat the seeds of the date?
I just eat the whole day.
The pit, I'm saying. I don't even know there were seeds other than that.
No, usually you eat around it.
Right, you eat around it, and then, but you could pit it in advance so that you could eat the whole thing more comfortably. Maybe like something with like apple core. It's like a cork, yeah. It's like an apple core where you shoot this thing down like the center of the apple. Like the whole apple around the core comes down.
Yeah, it would still be normal to eat.
That's right.
Apple might eat.
No, yeah, it would still be normal, but is it so much that we go just based on the normal to eat?
I mean,
the mice, if you're doing that.
Be an issue, no?
We'll call it
important,
yeah.
Well, it's not taking
the sauce out. Yeah, if you're seeds important.
So just take the fruit out.
Mm-hmm.
So take the fruit out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're using it as a mechanism just to like separate them.
The tzi and the chazanish, it sounds like he's talking about where you made some kind of incision in the plum in order to remove the pit. Shazifin Mishar Peira Shisadkan, you literally crack them. Rosa Lahasi or Garim Yisalfan. So you made an incision and you would want to remove the pit. Okay, says a garin biyado achas. Moshef es a pri biyado ashniya. Nisha agar biyado mashlifa. They stick your fingers into the plum. You pull the plum with your other hand, and then you're left holding the pit. So it sounds like he's talking about a tzir where you have some interest in having the plum without the pit. If you're not eating it around the pit, you want to remove the pit first. So in that case, he says, just stick your fingers in, hold on to the pit, and pull the fruit off of the other hand. Sometimes it's not going to work. If you're going to hold the pit, you're not going to end up having a grip. And here they isser b'dover kevin she'ofes ha'ochol b'yado devin derachatilo v'nachir chashe derachatilo l'chai l'shem bor. As long as you're holding on to the fruit and eating it, that's okay. I guess you're right that a plum, the way we know it, shouldn't be a ready example of the Yesher being an Afer, because you know, I was assuming that the Yesher being an Afer is you want to Chazanish should say that hold on to the pit and pull the fruit off. If you move them at the same time, well, that's not the same time. That's you're pulling the fruit off of the pit.
You go like this. The moment that you go like this, when you go like this, what happens if you go like that? Since you're moving the fruit, does that count?
Intuitively, I would say that's also Ochel Midot Tzelus. Yes, I guess you're right that in most of these situations where you can readily eat around the pit, that shouldn't be called Yashar Bin Yanak. The watermelon may be Yashar Bin Yanak. So if you have seeds in your watermelon, so you can, so you could eat the watermelon instead of the seeds. But short of that, maybe that's more than the Yashar Bin Yanak. So the Isle of Meshulah says, when it comes to regular fruit with a pit, there's going to be also called a deus, the best things to eat around the seed. Or put in your mouth and then spit out the seed. What about watermelon? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Prima Dada, that there's a heter v'yavlepeh, where's the Yashar Bin Yanak there? So maybe this is a case of the Yashar Bin Yanak there. And you could remove them some klachila mamish. According to the Chazon Ish, that doesn't fly. So you have to put in your mouth and spit out the seeds. could cut off seeds if you include watermelon together with the seeds in the part that you cut off.
Did you ever see the deer shoe horror about watermelon? They quote from Shmir Shabbos Gil Chazda that some of the almonds make
shake it.
To shake it, and you thought even to take off the ones that are left at the end would be fine, which Rav Nissen Karelitz did not think was okay, but the prior ones he did think were fine.
Right, that's so some of the almonds talked about shaking it, and other also. That's what I was looking for Shmir Shabbos. I don't.
You haven't heard Hara Sadi Dalin?
Is that the old edition of the
shine? I don't know, Perry Gimel, how it sounded.
Yeah, so that's what I was just looking for, and it wasn't where I thought it was. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's in the old edition. Yeah, Rishon Zalman talks about shaking it out. The other both can say that also. So those are the options for watermelon, either to spit it out, or to shake it, or to cut off seeds together with a significant amount of watermelon with it. And to be makel to do the ad lepeh is questionable. I'm sure that it shouldn't be moch if someone does that. Yeah.
So just to clarify, mm-hmm. when it comes to the fact that everyone's made guilt to take stuff out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
seemingly because it's considered derech achila,
right.
it's not based on the fact that like you wanted to put it in your mouth and now you're just taking it out. So like say, if you want to separate something on your plate,
right.
it seemingly wouldn't be a harama to put it into your mouth and then take the solus out from there, right? Because it's not based on the fact that you didn't know about it until now, like until within your mouth. It seems
right.
to be based on the fact that it's in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not their prayer, it's their hachila,
mm-hmm.
and therefore even baharama should be fine.
I think that's correct. Yeah. It'd be hard to call, to label putting something in your mouth as a harama.
Right.
That's
I'm just using
it
as a code word, but. Yeah.
Right, that's just a normal derech achila.
Like, here's when, what, shaking, find a shaking help.
So you're not doing an act of being bower of salt
mitachochel. You're not separating seed by shaking? That's not.
You're not, as long as there's no ruach and there's no zora, so you're not, that's not an act of rera. You're not removing salt mitachochel. If you do it in the wind, that would be a problem with Zohar.
And what about Meraki?
I'm sorry?
What about Meraki?
You do the Kli, it's a problem with Meraki. Rav Moshe has another application of Yesha ben Yenacher. This is in the Chuvas Rabbi Eider, number 7. That in a situation in which you're feeding something to a kid, and it's a baby, and the baby's incapable of separating the bones or something of the sort. Let's say you're feeding fish with bones to your infant, or two-year-old, who's incapable, toddler, who's incapable of removing the soles, incapable of eating around the soles. So Moshe suggests that maybe that's also Yashu ben Yenacher. And based on Kibbutzim, the mutter, some klachila mamish, to remove the bones for your kid, because that's considered a yafshar lenyachar. in that same tshuva, Rav Moshe also thinks that the best eats of the watermelon is to put in, to eat it and then spit out the pits. Ramosha in Chelik Aleph Simon Chuf Kaf Hei discusses washing fruit. Chelik Aleph Simon Chuf Kaf Hei, 1952. Shuvah written to Rabbi Binyamin Sugar, who just passed away during COVID. He was a long time first grade Rebbe in MTJ. At the time, he was learning in Beis Medrash Aliyah in Muncie. At least that was the address of the tshuva. Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Kaf Hey. So the starting point is Sif Ches in our Simen. The Chavir writes the Mishnah later on. Ein Shorin Yasakar Shinim. The Hainu Shem Netziv Naim Aleim B'Kli Hidei Lahasir Apsoles Lo Shavin Osan Biad Hidei Lahasir Apsoles. This is a Mishnah on Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. Ein sharin es achil sis beposhrin. Aval nozin l'sof hachomet. Ein sharin es akarshinen lo shachin asan. The Rashi says, Ein sharin es akarshinen. Karshinen is animal fodder. Netzav alei mayim b'kli liver psulasa. So you're sprinkling water over them in a kli to remove the psulas. Loshafin asan, you can't smooth them over. Rashi biyad lahasir psalos avli borer. Aval no se l'sof hakvara ulsof hakal kol. Rashi aval no se l'sof hakvara ba'afu bi depa'amim shav psalos nofel derech nikvei hakvara nimsa nisbar me'ila. So to sprinkle water on a way on them in an active way that's going to wash off the psalos is problematic. To put them into a kvara in such a way that the psalos may fall off mevela is mutter. That's what the Mechaber passes over here, this Mishnah, that you can't sprinkle water over them, the kli lasir psalos, the havalei kibogar, avanos in the kvara, afabishinovel psalos, deref nitvei hakvara. Says the Mishnah Berurah Kaf Ches in the Magen Avraham. Who had in him yesh psalos v'ochum u'ravim aser linnam v'mayim v'shiyipal psalos l'mata v'yon offer or she'yatsif l'mal v'mtel. If you have a mixture of psalos and ochel, you can't put them in the water to separate the ochel from the psalos. So it says for Moshe, the Indian peiros meluchlachim in mutter l'ochsa b'shabbos. So he quotes the next Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatim Kavtes HaKarshinim, Hu Adin Tapuchi Adama. It's not just animal food, but it applies to potatoes also. You can't put water on potatoes in order to remove the dirt. Says Moshe, "Shekasim yididi shekem duma shein olam dogin kain." If you look around, people wash their fruit on Shabbos. Hine ha'isur bo where afshu berei resat solas she'asur afila alter pasha shekem she'af shalika fa'ofel. V'derach achila hu lirkos apsoles mutter kidei lachol alter kemo de mutter lichlo shum v'zolim lachol alter. So number one, he says that where this is derech afila to wash off the psoles, it should be mutter la'alter. The gam, the rofa ba'amim, rechitzas ha'peros who rakli yisaron ba'alma. So first he says that if it's done in a la'alter, in a la'alter fashion, then if that's the derech afila, that's like peeling shumim salim, which is mutter la'alter. But he says even better, that when you wash fruit, usually that's only liyisar ba'alma. It's not absolutely necessary. The har b'bnei adam ochlin osam gam below rafitza. Many people eat fruit without washing them. I won't ask for a show of hands, but does anyone ever eat fruit without washing it first? The Moshe 1952 says yes, sir. The oz laga is, sir. Kmo yayin amayim slulin sheyesh gam sas kismin dakin. So we have to get to that. That if you have wine with minimal sediment that you would drink anyway, even with the sediment, that's not really brera to remove the sediment. And that'll be relevant to filtering kokobas and Shabbos that I hope to talk about. I am a shabu shabnachma shabrayu of any other. Kavanaso afut mufnak in ruin. So even if a mufunak wouldn't eat wine with a little bit of sediment, most people would, to remove the sediment is not boger. So if it's something that pushed up the shog, if you were stuck and you had no way of washing the apple, you'd probably wash the apple anyway. The Mishabrus are about potatoes. Potatoes are full of dirt. But that no one would eat without washing it first. So that's real brera, and that'll be usher even la'alter. And then he says even more, sasi nearly the astaiti, dirak lita in latok kli sheesh b'mayim, in the isa v'karshinim, shizel maisa bo'er, kadim adia fesholeh, the basic yadalit, also, lita l'sof ha'mayim, aval lita in alei ha'mayim, ve'eno nosam ba'mayim, derech rafitza, below derech boger. For rafitza, l'nesa v'peiros, k'mosha nesa v'kelim. Did anyone ever say you can't wash your dishes on Shabbos? So this is derech rafitza, not derech boger. The case in the Gemara, the case that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about with the karshinim, is you're putting the karshinim into water for the purpose of being borrowed of solace. But rinsing a fruit, that's considered derech rechitza, not derech brera, just like washing dishes. So no one says you can't wash your dishes because you're removing the solace from the oven, you're removing the dirt from the dish. That's not boer, that's rechitza. So maybe the mice of grave is only if you put it into the water, not if you rinse it off. But it's already in the dina. So Shabbos is akam in fanat. But the normal way of rinsing off fruit, he thinks would be heter gomer. Heter gomer because either you don't really need to wash it anyway, or even if you do, that's considered derech rechitza and not derech rechitza. Oh, I was looking at the clock where it said 11:15. I didn't go through the numbers. Okay.
Mr. Moshe, you came out with Kula?
The Moshe comes out with kula, which is a psak on the kubal, that you're allowed to wash fruit before you eat it. Again, either because most people would eat it even without washing it, so you're not really debarrending a substance. But also, he doesn't say this, but what do you debar? Because if you take the fruit and you rinse it off, is there anything coming off that you could see? So Moshe doesn't say that, but then there also be a point here that if in perception you're not actually removing anything, it's hard to call that bower. And number two, that's not the derek of bower. Derek of bower is at worst or at best to put something in water to soak it, but to rinse it in water, like rinsing dishes, is not derek rare. But let's just go another 5 minutes. Okay? We'll talk briefly about Breira of the Yad as opposed to Breira of the Kli. So as we noted, that the Hetzer Bar is only if you do a Biyad and not the Kli. Famous Shuvar Moshe, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Kaf Dalid from 1951, Kislev Tashin Yubez. Winter 51-52. Also, Chuvah Rim Tamansi. The Dvar Bor B'Shabbos Lechol Alter Ochem Mitoch Psalos Ayidei Mazlei V'Kaf Im Dashek Kavar B'Kli Shasser. So you're not allowed to do the Kli. What about a fork? What about a knife? He says, Pasha in the Asaiti. The Im Ayidei Mazlei V'Kaf Nivra B'Nakel Mibiyado. If you're using the fork or the knife to make the action easier, shenimsa misayim lemaisa breira yesh v'hachshiv zev boger if boger v'kli v'yesh lesser, that if using the knife enhances the act of breira, then it's going to be aser avalim ein osim la breira klum yoser mibiyado ela machma sheino rosa lelachlech yado. If the reason using the fork is not enhancing the act of braver, it's not making it easier, you don't want to get your hand dirty. So aside from the fact that it's not polite to stick your hand into the chicken tray and pick out a piece of chicken, you also don't want to get your hand dirty. Or you're using a fork to reach something at the other end of the table, so it's easier to use a fork than to use your hand. But fundamentally, it doesn't enhance the act of braver, or it's something liquid you can't take it in your hand, you need to use a spoon. So that's considered to be Bower Biyado, which is Mutil out there, the Ofel Mitoch Solus. Raya, as we said, you're allowed to be Kole Shemun and Solon. They're among the end of Shin Kaf Aleph. And the Magad Rav Mishmur quotes, you can peel apples too. So how are you peeling apples? How are you peeling onions? So usually you don't peel apples with your hands, you peel apples with a knife. So it must be, he says, Kevin del Etzema Breira, Ein Osakim Rivar Biyoser, Imaya Osezev Yad. So the knife doesn't affect Breira fundamentally better than your hand. Using the knife because you can't do it with your hand. Either with the knife. So says the Ayin Weissman, Kasiyot Kalek Aleph Siman Ayin Vav, that you can use a fork, a spoon, a knife under these circumstances, that it's not considered to be Boer V'Kli. The As the Post can say, it's considered to be a Yad Arifta, an extension of your hand. That's what Shmuel Shabbos writes in Sifna Tess. That's considered a Yad Arifta. Mishnah Brura in Sukkot Nun Hei assumes that if you pour something out of a kli, if you have a you have a liquid, or you have soup, and there are vegetables in the soup, and you're pouring from the pot into a bowl. So Mishabru assumes the katan and hay that's not considered to be bar b'kli, that's considered to be bar b'yai. You're pouring av from a pot into a bowl, even if you want the your bar ochmi toksalos, you want the soup, you don't want the vegetables. So you're pouring the soup into the bowl. That's considered to be the yad and not the kli. As opposed to if you block the contents with the lid. So Rabbi Eider quotes footnote Meshman Allah from Moshe, that if you're going to use the lid to block the contents, that only the liquid is going to get through, not the vegetables, that would be a problem of Boer B'Kli. Because now you're making the lid essentially is a kli that functions for Breira. So writes Shmir Shabbos, footnote Kufayin Vav, B'Shem Rishon Zalman. So writes the Ayel Meshulash, Perek Zayin, footnote Kuf Gimel, B'Shem Nissen Karelis, and Rabbi Yashiv, that to use a lid of a pot would be considered kli and not the yad. Yeah.
How's that different than using your hands? Like you still want to get your hands out of your hands and soup. Like you're saying using a fork is fine because you don't want to get your hands.
Well, it's not going to work. I mean, if I have a soup pot and I'm pouring it out,
you could.
And if I put my hand there, it's not going to be as effective as a pot.
Yeah.
It's
not mainstream though, it just happens to be.
It's only Mr. Durba, it's not Mr. Durice. It's not enough of the car, it's not enough of the car to give him a tonfit. Give him a tonfit is not made for straining, right? But any clue that's not made for straining is still Pater Veloster. The only hester who is considered beyond the Riften, considered an extension of your hand. So if I'm pouring something out.
Somebody use it for?
For what?
Just the block.
Can use a fork. Can use a fork to block.
That reduces the fact that it's in your hand. Maybe it won't be more effective.
So part of that. Where you put your hand, you put a fork instead. Maybe. Okay, what about a peeler? So in most of the kids as far, they write you're not only allowed to use a peeler. The peeler is more effective than your hand. Rabbi Rivian writes that he heard B'Shem Ramosha, that Ramosha was not your peeler, so he says, but it's not your Moshe. The Shabbos kitchen, Rabbi Simple Bun Kov, just came out in a new edition. In the old edition, he also quotes the Ramosha of Matur using peelers. A peeler is essentially a knife, an enhanced knife. A couple, and Rabbi Willig used to say this even before he heard that Ramosha said. And I confirmed with Rabbi Shmuel Fischelis, or David's son-in-law, that that's a practice in the family to use peelers. A couple years ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Kolodelsky, the Chaim's son-in-law, was in Pesach for Rosh Hashanah, and he spoke, gave a shiur of the Sholei Davin one night to Rosh Hashanah. He spoke about divrei chizuk, things that people have to be makpid on. He spoke about being careful not to travel too late on Erev Shabbos, how much time they had to leave, and all these stories about people who ended up not getting to the destination in time because they left too late on Erev Shabbos. And the second thing he spoke about was not to use peelers on Shabbos. He said, we're in America. Rav Moshe is supposed to go to America. Rav Moshe Paskin, you're not allowed to use peelers on Shabbos. So I thought that was surprising because I had heard for many years Rav Moshe Paskin, you are allowed to use peelers on Shabbos. And I confirmed again with Rav Fischelis after the case, afterwards, that that was the case. So I don't know why he thought Rav Moshe was Machmir and that the others are Machmir. So you can come to the Sayyid and say that that the Shverer says you shouldn't use it, or the Yashim says you shouldn't use it. Rav Shabbos is Machmir. Ayel Shulish is Machmir. Rav Karp is Machmir. Rav Shurmuth is Machmir. Rav Folk is Machmir. So you can, but it doesn't seem that that was a reliable representation of Rav Moshe. And the Kisses Farm, most of the Kisses Farm are Machmir and peelers, but there's reliable representation. Rav Moshe thought that a peeler is essentially just a extension of a knife. It doesn't really enhance the mice of braver. It doesn't fundamentally make a difference if you use a knife to cut something off or use a peeler to peel it. Yeah.
Like you peel an apple,
right?
Use your hands versus the only reason knife is the most there because you can do just a good job.
No, you can't really do it with your hands. How do you peel with your hands?
That's what I'm saying. Therefore, it should be us to use a peeler and also use us.
No, but you can see how it's like.
So the way Rav Moshe says it, right? So Rav Moshe is a little bit hard to read exactly in his formulation. He says, really, you can do it with your hand. He just does a better job. So that's a little hard to understand because you can't really peel an apple so well with your hands. But the action of peeling an apple, the action of peeling, depending on the fruit, is something that isn't a miyuchadit blower action. It's something that you could do on some level by yad, and please, some of an extension of your hands. An onion, you could peel with your hand, but maybe it's an apple is harder, but can't really do so with your hand, but it's still you're not doing a specific blower action that you absolutely need the kli in order to do.
So when does the middle category, the lower kli, when do you ever have that?
When you ever what?
That it's not mutter. Because you can almost always do it with your hand. In the other case, we can't do it with your hand.
Use a strainer, to use a
something. I'm saying something not like
what?
Set aside for door in the middle of the category.
Well, the lid.
The lid. Okay, we'll stop here and cover the shabbos. So next week, Sunday, Sakagas Mikha. So I think we'll share on Monday then.
With the case in the Gemara, why is that? Using a car, you can do it with your hands. Why is that different?
It's not if you could do it with your hand, it's does a kli enhance the act of braver?
Well,
the only reason you're using the kli is.
Peeling the kli does.
I'm sorry?
With peeling the kli enhances it.
Yeah, so both, that's what most folks can say. And Moshe apparently held that that a peel is really a knife. If you do it with a knife, you do it with a knife.